This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Hello and welcome along to the latest episode of It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. It's going to be me and Carlton again this week. My name is Joe Redmond and I'm going to be putting a host of topics towards Carlton like normal on the show to get his opinion. And I'm joined on the phone by the man himself, Carlton Palmer. How are you doing, Carlton?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, all good, thanks.
All good. How are you doing this week then? You been up to much?
Yeah, we've had a few days off. It's been a holiday over here, so we've had a few days off, and my wife's family's come over to Shanghai to visit her mum, her sister, and her daughter. So yeah, we've been taking them around and showing them the sights.
Sounds lovely. We'll get right into the show then, right after this.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Plenty on the agenda as usual then, Carlton. We're going to start off with the sale of Wembley Stadium. Shahid Khan, the owner of Fulham and the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe, he says that the sale will be good for the English game. What's your opinion on the sale?
Well, I mean, I know from a fan's perspective, and maybe even from a player's perspective, they might be a little bit disappointed. But I believe they still owe about 130 million, is it? 130 million. They're not generating enough revenue from it. So if it goes through in the way that they say it's going to go through, and you know, there's going to be surplus revenue that's going to be put back into grassroots football. Still, from what I've been reading, they'll still be able to play the England internationals there, and they will still be able to derive a revenue of about 400 million from that. So, I think it will be good. I think we've got to embrace it. I mean, even the old Wembley, I think they didn't buy that till about I think it was early on in the 1990s when they bought the old Wembley. So, I think from a business point of view, I think it's good business because, you know, it was well over budget. They've had loads and loads of problems with it. And as a commercial point of view, it doesn't make money. It's not used properly. So I think it can be good. I think it can be good.
And you mentioned there as well, the reports are that the money will be going into grassroots, and that's probably exactly what grassroots, should I say, needs at the minute, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, not a national stadium that we use how many times in the year, and there's a few concerts there and whatever. We need money putting into grassroots football. We need to get coaches in there. We need to generate, you know, because, you know, let's see. I'm hopeful in the summer. But we're still somewhere off a lot of the other national teams. So if we do well in the summer, then we've got to generate more good English players. We've got to keep that sort of conveyor belt coming through.
It'll be certainly interesting to see how we get on with that one. But as well, you touched on it briefly there as well. You mentioned that we'll still have the chance to play the England games at Wembley. Do you not think that they should maybe go around the country a little bit more, like play the core of them at Wembley and then send a few out per year across the country?
Well, I believe the competitive games should be played at Wembley. I know as a player, you know, I played for the national team for many years, and it's special playing at Wembley. It really is. I think for friendlies, play them all around the country to get people involved. But for me, I've always, turning up at Wembley and up for an evening game is a very special occasion. So for me, you know, yes, play some of the games, the friendlies around, you know, the country. But for the competitive matches in terms of, you know, World Cup qualifiers and so forth, I think should be played at the National Stadium.
Yep, totally agree with there, to be honest, Carlton. We're going to move on. Steven Gerrard is expected to be announced as a manager of Rangers, according to reports, at some point this week. Bit of a surprise, that one.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit of a surprise. Not to say I think Steven Gerrard will be a fantastic manager, to be fair, but it is a surprise. And from I was listening to Ali McCoist the other day, but he's saying it's a poisoning chalice. So he's saying that not even Pep Guardiola could go in there and turn that round at the moment. So And the one thing is, your first manager's job is so, so important. If you fall flat on your face, it's hard for you to get that next opportunity to go again. It really is. That first job you take, you've got to be very careful when you go in there, because you've got to get a degree of success. Otherwise, people will look and say, you know, well, come on, what have you done? Very difficult. But I mean, it might be an offer that Stephen felt that he had to take, and at his young age, early on, to get a big club like Rangers. You know, maybe it was an offer that he felt that he couldn't turn down.
Yeah, because they are a massive club. Do you think he has the characteristics to succeed in such a big job, though?
I mean, it's not always that you're a great player, you become a great manager. Mm. But I think he was a good leader. He led by example on the football pitch and off the football pitch. I know Stephen, I know his character, I know he's fiercely determined. He's worked for a lot of good managers. His appointment of an assistant is crucial. He needs to get, if you look at Sir Alex Ferguson, as great as he is, he's always struggled when he hasn't had a good number two. When he's had a good number two in there, you know, it's very important. That good coach, that buffer that you can, you know, when things are not going well, that you can go to, you can talk to, that go between the players and you is so important. And Stephen knows a lot of people, so hopefully he'll get that right. Somebody that's maybe got a bit more experience in management than he has, obviously has.
You mentioned there, though, it has been labelled as a bit of a poison chalice, and they've not had a great time over the last 5 or 6 years or so, Rangers. What do you think Stevie G would have to do for his time at Rangers to be labelled a success?
Well, any kind of success, winning a trophy, will be deemed as he's done well, you know? You know, I mean, what Stephen's got to do is get in there, see what he's got. I mean, obviously, money's obviously an issue. See what he can do. Get, you know, it's very difficult for me to say now, because you look at these managers that's going in there, and I'm the first thing I want to say to you, Steve needs to be given time. But that's the one thing you don't have as a manager now. You don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'm going to be here for the next 4, 5, 6 years, so I can build something. You don't have that luxury now as a manager. You've got to go in, you've got to hit the ground running. You know, Stephen's going to go in at the end of the season, which I think is always a better time to go in as a manager than going in, you know, like Chris Coleman at Sunderland at Christmas. It's always difficult because you go in at that period, you haven't got no money, you're left with the players that are there. And it's very difficult if those players are struggling and those players aren't good enough. As a manager, there's very little you can do.
And you mentioned Chris Coleman there, so we'll move on to that one now. Be the perfect time. Sacked as manager of Sunderland. What did you make of that one?
I thought it was harsh. I think it's very harsh. But, you know, whenever there's a takeover and a new chairman comes in, the chairman already undoubtedly has got somebody in mind for the job. Also, when I was thinking about it today, I mean, when Chris took over, they took him from the Welsh job, he would have been on serious money, and now they've gone down to League One. So from that point of view, I think they'll be looking and saying, well, we can't afford him, really, and that will go for a lot of the players that are there. You know what I mean? They've got the lad who came from Man City, I believe, still on 60-70 grand a week, you know, and he's still under contract, I believe, for another year or 18 months.
Yeah.
Rodwell.
Yeah. What next then for Sunderland? Because Ellis Short has sold the club and he has wiped off all the debt, according to reports. So it's probably looking, I know they've just gone down, but it's probably looking a little bit more optimistic up on Wearside now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a massive club. Great supporters. So they need to get it right now. I mean, two consecutive, you know, relegations, a nightmare for the supporters. But if the reports are correct, as we've heard, you know, that the debt's wiped out, then whoever comes in as a manager, they've got a great fan base. You know, and it's better than going in there with restraints and whatever because of the finances. So you would think that they're going to, you know, be there or thereabouts challenging, or you'd like to think they're going to be there or thereabouts challenging to get promotion, and probably got to be looking to do back-to-back promotions now.
Is there anyone in particular you think should be looking at the Sunderland job?
Well, I don't know who wouldn't be looking at it. It's a big club. If you're out of work now, you know, then it's one of those where, you know, it's a great opportunity to go in there now and do something. I've got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed that Chris is gone, because I think he's proven his track record of what he's done is proven, and I think he would have sorted it out. He was in a no-win situation going in there at that time. I haven't spoken to Cookie, but I don't think he would have realised the situation was as bad as what it seems to be, and the reports coming out there.
Yeah, it always seems a bit.
I heard him make a comment which is very unlike Chris, when he was asked over the weekend whether Jack Rodwell would be playing, and he said he hadn't seen him. And you know, I knew the writing was on the wall then, because when you start criticising players publicly, which he doesn't do, I think he might have known that he was going afterwards. You know, you got players talented as Rodwell, who's you know, on a hell of a lot of money, who's not making himself available to play. It's for a manager, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. And that's the way the game's become now. See, you know, the club offered to pay him up, but he's not going to have his contract paid up, because nobody's down to pay him that type of money anywhere else. So you've got players like that who you need that salary to be, that size of salary to be contributing every week. And when it's not, it becomes a major burden for you as a manager.
Yeah, definitely interesting to see how they sort the Rodwell situation out and how they do next season, because I'm sure a lot of football fans will be hoping a club the size of Sunderland come back. And moving on to another big club, Leeds United lost again at the weekend, and that's now a win percentage of 0% away from home for Paul Heckingbottom. But obviously you keep saying that, and I agree with you, that he should be given more time, but obviously it's a bit worrying, this momentum going into next season.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, we talk about it every week. I think if I was Paul, he's looking, the squad of the players aren't good enough, in my opinion, not to challenge and get promotion. So he's looking at the younger players, he's looking at what he's got there, and hopefully the chairman will give him the summer to do what he needs to do, and then he should be judged from the start, the first 10 games of next season. I don't think he should be judged from now to the end of the season. Again, like I've said to you, he's come in there, you know, he's inherited the squad of players. A different manager was going down a different route with these players, and a different way of playing. In my opinion, not the way to get out. You'll not get out of that league playing the way that they were playing. As I said to you, I watched them at Sheffield Wednesday, and they played too open to play, you know, playing the, you know, I believe playing out from the back. But if you're making it as obvious as they were doing, which, and conceding goals. See, when you do the stats, right? If you concede the ball, concede possession of the ball in your final third, time after time after time, you're going to concede goals, and that's what Leeds did. They tried to play football out from the back, and so all teams have done. I went to watch them not so long ago in Bristol City. All they did was go, right, we're going to play three on top, and then just put them under pressure. So they're trying to play out the back, and they're getting caught in possession and then conceding. The second half, Paul made some changes to the game, and they played a much more direct approach, and they ended up getting a result out of it. Probably should have gone on to win the game. So it's changing that style of play, and with that, you've got to change some of the players as well. As I said, Paul should be given the summer to do the surgery that's needed to be done to the playing staff. You know, otherwise, you know, it's again another manager for Leeds United.
Yeah, the rumours have already started, though, about incomings. Carl Bartlett, obviously on loan at Leeds last season, went back to Swansea this season, hasn't had much game time, and now the rumours are that Leeds are interested. Would certainly be a good addition to the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's a cut above the championship, to be fair. And that's the type of player you need to get out of that league. You need players who are basically, you know, when we got promoted from at Sheffield Wednesday, all the players really in our side were all Premier League players. We were way ahead of the Championship, and that proved to be the case. And that's the type of players you need. So like a Burnley who gets promoted and then they finish, because a lot of those players were better than the Championship.
Why do you think he's not had the chance at Swansea then this season?
I don't know. You know, it's difficult. Some players, some managers fancy players and some don't. That's why some players go and play at a different club, play for a different manager, and you see a different performer. Why has Salah performed like he has this season under Jurgen Klopp? He's never had a season like it before. Never. Not even close to it. But this season, the way Liverpool's played, the way Jurgen Klopp's played, he's been like sensational. And it happens.
Yep, good point. It seems like ages ago since this news broke, but obviously I've not spoken to you for about a week now. The post-season trip to Myanmar, otherwise known as Burma, what did you make of that announcement?
Well, as a player, I wouldn't be too happy about it. Well, I wouldn't be going. Mm. End of story. So, that's as simple as it is. I know you're under contract at a club, and you know, but the club needs to think about when they're making decisions like that, and these days now the players are strong enough now. If they really don't want to go, they'll just say, "Well, we won't go." I'd certainly sit down with the manager and chairman, but I wouldn't be too happy about that, to be honest with you.
Are you expecting a few players to pull out of the trip then?
I would think so. I mean, the problem that you've got now, If five or six of the players say they're not going to go, then it's very difficult. I mean, if they contact the PFA, and you know, the only way I think that the trip would be able to go ahead was if the PFA support Leeds United Football Club in the trip, and I can't see how they would support them. If a player genuinely felt the way that he did about travelling there, then surely the PFA has got to support the player in this situation.
Obviously, the trip received a lot of backlash, not just from fans, from journalists as well, and even some politicians got involved. Do you understand all the backlash then?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like I said to you, I wouldn't be going. I'd speak to the chairman and I'd speak to the manager, and from my point of view, I wouldn't be going. There's so many places to go on pre-season trips. You know, obviously this is a commercial one, this is to make money, but there's so many places to go. Why put yourself in a situation like this? I just don't get it.
Even if they're going somewhere else, Dubai for example, the timing of the trip is a little bit weird as well, because it's a post-season tour rather than a pre-season. So that, to me, struck that. I know teams have done it in the past, but obviously when you're coming towards the end of a season and players, for example, will have things booked, will have plans, and then to be told you're going on this post-season tour, that struck me as a little weird as well, if I'm being honest.
No, but a lot of clubs do that. Well, I've done it before at other clubs. You know, at the end of the day, from a commercial point of view, if the club can make some money, you're under contract at the football club. If the club can make some money from a tour, then I don't see any reason for that not to go ahead. And as I say, I've done it at plenty of clubs that I've been at before. But I just think that where it is, and it just doesn't make sense to me. It's obviously they're getting paid a lot of money for going there. There must be, but I think there'll be more news to come on that. I'm sure the players aren't very happy about it.
Well, we'll certainly be keeping our ears to the ground regarding that one here at Proper Spot. We're coming up towards the end of our chat, Carlton, so I'd like to ask you if there's anything that you would like to add.
No, I'm brilliant. I'm looking forward to the boxing on Saturday. Abe Bellier, it was a lively press conference, so I'm looking forward to that on Saturday to see whether David A can get revenge or whether Tony Bellew can beat him again. It's a fascinating one. It really is. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, because I love my boxing as well as my football. So, yeah, it's my wife's birthday as well on that day. So we'll see how he goes.
Oh, well, tell your wife I said happy birthday then. And just finally, I'll put you on the spot because I like the boxing as well. I am looking forward to this one. Who do you think is going to win?
It's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one because it's like if you actually look at the first fight, you could tell that there was a problem with David A. Something wasn't right. And all the rumours had come out beforehand about him being injured, right? So he couldn't have pulled out the fight. But if you take up until the sixth round, David was possibly 5-1 up. You've then gone from 6th to 11th to when they threw the towel in, right? Bellew still couldn't get him out of there. You know, a man that could barely walk, right? He couldn't get him out of there. So the it seems to me that if David A, and he looks like he's taking it seriously and he's trained properly for this one and he's 100% fit, it would seem to me that David A wins the fight. It would seem that way. But who knows? He's had that many injury problems, whether his body breaks down on him again, but apparently he's been sparring 12, 15 rounds, and he's been fine. Sparred again, I think 2 days ago he did his last spar, and he came through that well. So, I mean, the one thing about David A, if you look at his past record, he's a very astute businessman. He's a very astute guy. I don't think he's stupid, and I think he's got the ability to get Tony Bellew out of there. But we'll have to see. I think David A in 4 or 5 rounds, or Tony Bellew on points.
Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to that one. But as ever, Carlton, thank you for your time, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Best of It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer.